Did you know Super Awesome Mix has an app? Go to the Apple App Store today and download Super Awesome Mix. It's free. You could start creating and sending your own digital mixtapes in just a few clicks. Also, there's links to our Instagram account and a link where you can follow your favorite podcast. Speaking of which, welcome back to another Super Awesome Mix. My name is Matt Sidholm, alongside my co-host and co-founder of Super Awesome Mix, Samer Abousalbi. Samer, how are we doing?
I am doing real well. Thank you, as always, for asking. And how are you, Matt? That's wonderful.
I'm doing great. It's another beautiful day here in Texas, so no complaints
wonderful.
On my end. So, Samer, we're back here with a very special guest, and he is originally from Tulsa, Oklahoma. He has traveled the world as a journalist and a producer for CBS, ABC, and currently NBC in New York. He has been part of teams that have won multiple Edward R. Murrow Awards for journalism, and he won an Emmy for producing an investigative piece on Bill Cosby. Between that, his work on the Church of Scientology, his time being embedded with the John McCain presidential campaign, and on the front lines of Afghanistan, we could call him the most interesting man in the world, but instead, we call him our friend John Bentley. John, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for that kind intro. I am certainly not the most interesting man in the world, but thank you nonetheless for having me.
John, with everything on your resume, would you still consider the high point of your career broadcasting Division III football games?
100%.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's what I was hoping.
We got to travel to such locales as Sewanee, Tennessee, and all the high points. Yeah.
I tell you, the Ritz-Carlton in Sewanee, Tennessee is beautiful.
The towels are to die for.
Yeah, they're known for that hotel location, right? I think that's one of their
it's a flagship
it's
location.
One of their flagships.
It's one of their flagship hotels for sure. Oh, that's awesome.
Well, John, great to have you. And you've put together a pretty different mix from a lot of the music that we've had on the show so far. You went with, and I was very excited about this because I love a lot of these artists, but Samer, this is kind of an introduction for you to a lot of these kind of alt country artists.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. Yes, we've mentioned it on the show. It's probably no secret. I'm not the number one fan of country music. I am maybe not even a top 10 fan of country music. However, you know, Matt and I talk a lot about this. We welcome all kinds of music on the show. You know, our messaging has always been about, like, music is music is music. You know, one of our guests, Will Nichols, said that, and I absolutely love that. And so we always go into all of our mixes really with open eyes, you know, open heart and open ears, so to speak, of just trying to, like, enjoy it and appreciate it and understand that everyone's got their own taste and everything. So this was at times a little bit of a struggle for me to do that, admittedly. But there are actually some great tracks in here that I was like, huh, I really like this. This is great. And that's always fun. That's always fun when you can go into a mix, you know, or a genre of music kind of thinking like, oh, I don't like anything, but being like, huh, actually I do. And hopefully that is true for a lot of our listeners who might share the same, really with any of our genres. So yeah, with that, I think we should jump in.
Yeah, absolutely. Track one, John, you went with The Bird Hunters by Turnpike Troubadours.
Yeah, the Turnpike Troubadours are, as you mentioned, I'm from Oklahoma, and as are the Turnpike Troubadours. So this is the first song on one of their records, and I think it's a good. You guys just did a podcast about great opening songs, I believe, and I think this is a great opening song to their album, and it's something that when I'm traveling around, I like to put on because it reminds me a lot of Oklahoma. Kind of you know, just the way they sing, the music. I can't say that I would call myself a hunter of birds or anything else, but I do like the song and the sound, and so that's why I kicked off the mix with that.
Yeah, it does a good job of painting a picture of like what a bird hunt would look like. And
it does.
You know, guys kind of getting on each other and all
I
of
thought
that.
If the game Duck Hunt ever needed a theme song, this could be it. It really kind of sums it up. You got the dog in there, the rifle, like you got everything.
That's genius. That's exactly what they should be licensing that song for.
God, if they're gonna re-release Duck Hunt, which, I mean,
yeah, I haven't seen
imagine
that.
Imagine how, yeah, it'd probably be a much darker version of Duck Hunt, right? It wouldn't be as fun loving as the
right,
original.
Right, for sure. It would have aged in that regard. That's great. Now, this was a good opener. I like that it not only opened the album, as you mentioned, but it also opens the mix here and kind of sets the mood. I liked it. Let's move on to... Oh, go ahead, John.
I was going to say, I've won you over. The first song already.
Yes.
You're now an alternative country fan. Sam,
exactly.
So I feel like I've done my job.
That's how good John is. I'm telling you. They don't just give Emmys to anyone.
That's right.
All right?
Oh, that's great. All right. Track two. Another one that I liked, actually, because it has like a bit of a rock influence, in fact. You've got The Graveyard Shift by Uncle Tupelo.
Yeah. So if, you know, people who are familiar with this type of music, it's sometimes called No Depression music because Uncle Tupelo's first record was called No Depression. They're sort of the godfathers of this style of mixing rock and country and kind of, you know, really, they probably wouldn't take credit for creating the genre, but definitely honing it and being one of the flag bearers of it. And Uncle Tupelo since split up into Sunvolt and Wilco, but this was one of their first songs, or one of their off their early records. And yeah, I mean, like you said, it really does combine rock and country, and it reminds me of when I was first working in San Antonio. I worked a really enviable shift of 3 a.m. to noon at the local TV station. So
nice.
that's what I think of when I hear The Graveyard Shift.
Now, when you have to be at work at 3 a.m., when's the alarm going off? Are you even going to sleep? How does that work?
It was horrible. I would try to go to bed at like 5 or 6 in the afternoon and get up at 2 and... your body just never, I did that for 2 years. Your body just never gets used to that, to trying to do that. So yeah, it was, it's brutal.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Well, I imagine a song like this would kind of pick things up though, when you're driving.
You know, it does, you loud, you know, kind of driving music does help you try to be awake at that time. Lots of coffee, but, rich coffee, if you will, but, it doesn't always work.
That is great. All right. Well, track three, we go to My Guardian Angel by The Pistoleros.
Yeah, this is another track that reminds me a lot of San Antonio. It sort of mixes Spanish and English. And, you know, I always – The Pistoleros are one of those bands that kind of had a hit or two and then kind of disappeared, as far as I know. Maybe they're huge somewhere else, but I haven't heard of them in many years. But I always like this song. And it's sort of – again, it reminded me of my time in Texas and in San Antonio.
I like this one. I like that it had like a mariachi influence almost. It's kind of interesting, like all the different instruments going on in here. This one was a good one.
Yeah, you do not. San Antonio has a huge Tejano scene, mariachi bands, all that sort of stuff, and you know, it's definitely a part of the country where the, you know, you know where you are when you turn on the radio because you can. It definitely has that feel.
The thing about it's funny. So if you've ever dined in Texas, and if you haven't, absolutely go, because like Tex-Mex food and all the other food scene there is amazing. But if you go to a lot of Mexican restaurants or Tex-Mex restaurants, it is common for some of them to have like mariachi bands. So it's like the bands that will show up and start to play and serenade, and every now and then, you know, they'll like stop by a table and serenade a table. And I used to, I'm a bit of an introvert, and so whenever I would go to restaurants like that, I'd be terrified that I'd be the one that was picked, that like I didn't want to be the table that they stopped at, especially like if you're having like a serious conversation with the person you're with. Like, that's not a good place to try to break up with someone. someone, for example. You know, like you're having this serious convo and a mariachi band appears and starts serenading you and you're like, oh, bad timing.
Or it's the perfect place, right?
It's time to go. The mariachi band's here. So, like,
I
was knowing you.
Just, you know, I love that. I had more to say, but you know, the band is here, so I got to run. It's been great.
Right.
That's right.
That's awesome. All right. Let us go up north with track 4. You've got New York, New York by Ryan Adams. Tell us about this one.
So in 2002, I moved to New York City, and I suppose this is a little on the nose, but I believe this is the year that song came out, and I was a huge Whiskey Town fan, and Ryan Adams was the frontman in Whiskey Town, and then I believe this is off his first solo record, so it always reminds me of that kind of first year or so in winter I spent in New York after living in Oklahoma and Texas for my entire life. So that's why that one's on there. It's kind of a rockabilly alt country type of tune talking about a very not rockabilly and country place. So I like the dichotomy of that. And overall, I just think it's a fun song.
Yeah, I agree. This is a really good one, and you're right. It's the right mix of kind of southern feel, but it's all about New York, you know, and that's really got to be right in your wheelhouse. Because how long have you lived in New York now?
Oh, geez, almost 20 years, which seems crazy to me, but yeah, almost 20 years now.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's awesome. What was your experience of that first winter? By the way, how did you adjust to that?
It was not good. I'll tell you a brief funny story. We lived in a very small apartment on the way Upper West Side, and they have in Texas or any place else I've ever lived, you have a heater. You just set the thermostat in the wall and heats the house. Well, they have radiators in New York, which neither me nor my girlfriend and my wife at the time had ever seen or used before. So as it gets to be very cold in New York, our apartment is freezing, and we have to call the super and say, what's going on? There's no heat in this apartment. And he comes on and just twists the little knob on the radiator, and you hear the hiss, and all of a sudden it's warm within 10 minutes, but we had no idea how to operate a radiator.
That's
so
amazing.
For anybody who lives on the East Coast, they're just shaking their heads about how dumb Southerners can be sometimes. And it was very cold for a while until our super took pity on us and showed us how to operate a radiator, which is not hard, but if you've never done it before, it can be a little tricky.
Yes, the steam heating takes some getting used to, for sure. It's very different.
It is. It really shouldn't have been quite the challenge that it was for us, but we made it.
Yeah, that's great.
All right, so track 5, Listen to the Radio by Nancy Griffith. Nancy Griffith just passed away.
Yeah,
actually.
Terrible. She's one of my favorite singers, and really sad to see her go, because she has a huge body of work that's just amazing and really, really centered in Texas. And again, one of the things that I like to do traveling around is they're on the local radio station. I mean, everybody has their iPods or, you know, satellite radios in every rental car now, but you can really get a feel of a place by listening to the local radio station. Like I was saying, in San Antonio has a much different flavor than even Austin or Dallas, and New Orleans, places in North Carolina. I mean, they have very specific genres of music that help you really feel like you're in that place and sort of what it's all about. So that's what this song always reminds me of, and it's one of the things I like to do when I'm traveling is kind of spin around the local dial when I get somewhere, and hopefully you find something good or at least interesting that evokes that place you're at.
Yeah, I like to do that when traveling, listening to the local radio, and then also watching the local news. Like that always fascinates me too. Once I get to my hotel room, just like, what is their local? Are they as incompetent as the local news people in my city, or are they better than us? Yeah,
I love that. Real quick note on that. I learned that, so in the show How I Met Your Mother, which takes place in New York City, there's Robin is on like a local media station, and as part of the show is a guy who just reads the newspapers, like the day's that day's newspapers, and that's a segment. And I always thought that was a joke, but it turns out that's real. That's on a channel called NY1, Spectrum's news channel. Every morning he just grabs the papers and reads from them. I'm like, that is amazing.
That's like what Kelly Ripa does on that show, right? Don't they just pick up a stack of papers and
amazed by that.
Governor Cuomo, what are you doing?
That guy's name is Pat Kiernan, and he is beloved in New York City for reading the newspapers in the morning. It is kind of. I was the same way when I first moved here. It's like that. That's all he does. It's just read the newspapers on TV.
Yeah, it's funny. You're right. Because after a couple times of watching it, I kind of looked forward to it the next day.
It is oddly. It's kind of soothing to have your friend Pat there reading the newspapers to you over your coffee. Yeah, no, he's huge, and it is a hallmark of that channel. Absolutely.
That's great.
I'm more just jealous that that's a job that I didn't get, right? Like, I'm a pretty good reader. Like, I think I could do that.
You do a great job.
Thank you.
Let's move on to track six here, halfway mark. We've got aptly named Out Here in the Middle by James McMurtry.
James McMurtry is another singer-songwriter. His father is Larry McMurtry, who wrote all the Lonesome Dove novels, big country Texas writer, and James sort of inherited that storytelling style from his dad. And again, this is this is a song that sort of reminds me of where I grew up. It's kind of wry, and it's several years old at this point, but he talks about how we've got a Starbucks now and the parking's easy. Why would you want to live anywhere else than somewhere where it's a lot cheaper than out here on the coasts? But yet here I remain near New York City, but I still like listening to this song.
Yeah, this one reminds me, it almost reminded me a little bit of Okie from Muskogee, in that there's kind of listing off things that it might have been in an ironic way that he was kind of presenting these things. Like, maybe he's not as proud as it maybe appears.
Yeah, it's that's a great connection, because I think he's definitely coming out of that that style of pride in where you came from, but also poking fun at it a little bit. He talks about putting up towers for your cell phones.
You're right.
I think that's a great connection going back even further.
Well, good. Coming up here on track seven. Now, this is a cover song. David Allan Coe's version of Please Come to Boston, the original, was in 1974 by Dave Loggins. And for the listeners who are immediately like, wait a second, why does that sound familiar? Dave Loggins is the second cousin of the great Kenny Loggins. And David Allan Coe came out with this in about 10 years later, 1984. So why did you pick this version of Please Come to Boston?
I knew it was a cover. I did not know it was Kenny Loggins' second cousin who originally wrote it. I've learned something here today. So there's several covers of this song. David Allan Coe's, I think it's one of those things, the first version of a song you hear sort of becomes the one you enjoy more, even if you like hearing different covers. I think the original usually holds some kind of hold over you. So this is the first one I heard. David Allan Coe is, to say he's a bit of a divisive figure in the country and music world is an understatement, but he has written some great songs, and he's covered some great songs, and this is one of them. It's kind of one of those high and lonesome kind of songs about missing someone, and that happens to me quite a bit when I'm on the road, missing my family and wanting to get back. So that's one of the reasons I picked this song, and I probably first heard it when I was living in Texas, and the David Allan Coe version. So that's why I went with this.
Yeah, that's a great one. I just love the repeated lines, like, he visits all these different cities throughout the thing, and it just keeps coming back to, no, you come home to me. Just that sense of like having home be, whatever that is, whether it's a person or a place or anything. It's a lovely song.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
All right, track eight. You've got The Road to Ensenada by Lyle Lovett.
Yeah, I mean, you can't put together any kind of you know, country or alt country playlist without having a little Lyle Lovett on there. So he's fantastic. This song reminds me of a very specific trip. I was in Mexico on a story one time and made the mistake of eating some tacos from a taco stand, and that ended me putting me in my hotel room for on my back for about three straight days. It was super fun, and for whatever reason, this song you know, I had on my iPod or something, and it just, you know, it now cemented. All I can think about is that trip. And you'd think that, you know, being laid up, you'd kind of hate that song hearing
right,
it.
Right, I was going to ask.
even though it reminds me of a not so great time, I don't know. I still like the song. And I wasn't in Ensenada. It just happens to be the name of the song. But it's a good song nonetheless, even though it reminds me of a not so great experience.
Well, and it's very soothing. So I guess if you're going through something like that, you know, you'd probably want to hear something, you know, soothing instead of, you know, going back to Uncle Tupelo.
Yeah, right? That's a very good point. When all you want to do is sort of lie there and curl up in a ball, some of Lyle's more chill songs are excellent for that.
That's great. Yeah, no, I love this whole album, The Road to Ensenada, is just incredible. But yeah, I really love this song. It's a very sad song, but I love the vocals and the music behind it. So great choice.
Thank you.
All right, so track 9, we get a little bit more mainstream here with Brooks and Dunn and their song Only in America.
So my guess is this is the one Samer probably had a hard time wrapping his mind around. you're absolutely right. This is straight down the middle Nashville country. And so the reason I picked this song is like you mentioned, I was what we call an embedded reporter on the campaign trail in 2008, which means you travel everywhere with a candidate. And I was with John McCain. And when McCain or any candidate speaks at some kind of rally or, you know, wherever he is, they always play music before he comes out while the crowd's coming in and people are getting to their seats. And it's always the same mixtape, sort of like when you go to a concert and they play music beforehand. But imagine you go to that concert 4 times a day, every day for months, and it's the exact same mixtape. So this song was one of the songs they would play right before he came out. And it's sort of a stages of grief thing. I mean, the first time you hear it, you're like, this song is terrible. I hate it. You're sort of wishing it would go away. You're pleading with them to don't ever play that song again. And then you come to acceptance and you're like, you know what? This is kind of almost a perfectly crafted country music song. I mean, it hits all the right notes. And so now it has become this, you know, it just reminds me of my time on the campaign trail. So if I heard this song today out of the blue, I'd say, you know, this is terrible. I'd never listen to it again. But now it reminds me of this very specific time. And, you know, it's kind of like some sort of psychological conditioning. When you hear it over and over and over again for months, you have no choice but to give in and finally accept it. So that's what happened with that song.
Sammer, do you feel better now?
I do feel a little bit better because I was thinking in my notes here, I have that if we did put together like a patriotic mix, you know, for July 4th, we decided to do one a little differently and just do like cities and states. But like if we had done like an America themed one, this would just be this 12 times and we would have had that experience. I mean, the lyrics are just built for political campaigns. It's been used by Bush, by Obama, by Biden, by Romney. I mean, you name it, like McCain apparently too. You know, like it's like it was just designed for that.
Yes, it's sort of like it was built in some factory in Nashville for political statements. Absolutely.
Well, and I thought it was amazing that both Republicans and Democrats have gone to this song and just come out and rally to it, you know?
See, there's music brings us together.
It brings us together.
It brings us together.
If you listen to Brooks and Dunn enough times, then you'll vote for whatever they say. Yeah, beat you down after a while.
Go right from this to 100 listens of Neon Moon and fall in love with that song.
All right. Track 10. a very different type of message in this one. So it's really interesting to have this one back to back. But we've got Call to Arms by Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah, just about as far away from mainstream Nashville country as you can get.
Yes.
You know, it's, you know, when I was putting this together, all the terrible stuff that's happening in Afghanistan hadn't really happened yet. And now it's kind of it's happening. So I covered the war over there for several years. And, you know, even though this song came out well after that, he does talk a lot about, you know, war and kind of wrestling with America's role in that. So that's, you know, that's what I think of when I hear this song. And as I'm sure as you guys picked up, it's, even though the song is called Call to Arms, it's a lot deeper than trying to rally people, you know, around the flag to go fight somewhere. It's not quite as easy to parse as Only in America, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing this one at any political rallies.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, I was thinking, actually, it kind of reminded me of Fortunate Son, in that maybe, like, mm-hmm. just based off of the title, you could be like, oh, yeah, let's play it. But then you listen to the lyrics and you're like, oh, wait, maybe this is not actually what we think we're playing.
Yeah. No, I think it would be misunderstood. Yeah, I mean, but the line that stood out to me, they serve up distractions and we eat them with fries until the bombs fall out of the effing skies. Like, it's just, yeah. I mean, how we're just not paying attention and all these things are going on around us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, I think that's why, what's, not to go off on some kind of political rant, I'll keep my rant short, but I think that's why you see what's happening is so surprising to everyone. What's happening in Afghanistan now is because we do sort of take our eyes off these things sometimes. And when you see these pictures come out, you know, it comes as a surprise, but you know, for people smarter than me who have been keeping an eye out for a long time, it shouldn't have come as a surprise. So rant over, back to the music.
Rant over, back to the music. All right. So we go to track 11, Longer Than You've Been Alive by the Old 97s. This was probably my favorite song on the mix. And
yeah, mine too.
I've seen the Old 97s probably a handful of times live, and they're just incredible.
They're a fantastic band. And really, if there's anybody who's still, you know, working today who kind of embodies that alternative country kind of sound, and I think it's the Old 97s. And as I've gotten older and have children, this is sort of something that that reminds me that, you know, I've been working longer than they've been alive doing this sort of thing, and it makes me feel old, but also, you know, it comes with a very, very small amount of wisdom. So, and plus the Old 97s are just great. As you said, Matt, they're a super fun band to see live, and they just keep cranking out albums. And, you know, a lot of times you know, for a band that's been around, geez, probably 20, 25 years now, if not longer, their output, you know, it sort of diminishes but you know, their later albums, while different, I think are, a lot of ways just as good as their early stuff. It's really amazing how consistent they've been. So, they're, definitely deserve a spot on any, alt country playlist.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this song. I love the Old 97s. I was introduced to them through the TV show Scrubs, because actually a lot of their work has been on a lot of TV shows, which really speaks to its reach. The lyrics that I have to point out, because I just love these so much, so he says, "Well, love that comes easy is a fake or a fluke. Love is a marathon. Sometimes you puke." I just thought that was so great. What a fun line.
Yeah, there's gems like that in almost all their songs. The songwriting is great. The musicianship is great. You can't go wrong with the Old 97s.
All right. Well, let's take this all the way to the end with a great track here and a great name too. I'm Coming Home by Robert Earl Keen.
Yeah, so Robert Earl Keen Jr., I should say, is one of the first, you know, kind of alternative musicians that I got into when I in Oklahoma, in Texas, he kind of really opened up a lot of these, you know, open up the door for me to enjoy a lot of these bands. So he's also somebody who's been working now for many years and still has a real high degree of great songs that he still churns out. And of course, at the end of this mix and at the end of any trips I'm on, I'm always looking forward to getting home to the family. So again, I apologize if it's a little on the nose, but it's still a good song and a good way to wrap up the mix, I think.
No, completely agree. It's a great song. And yeah, I mean, I imagine in your line of work, when you're away from home for long stretches of time, it always feels good to get back home.
Absolutely, yes. And yeah, Robert Earl Keane and this kind of music reminds me of home. So he could just sort of hum to a guitar and I would feel like I was heading home.
Well, great. There you have it. Another super awesome mix in the books. John, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Now, is there anything you want to plug while you're here? Any, I knew you said you're not huge on social media, but any other places that people can find your work?
I work for NBC News, so of course you're watching NBC wherever you are in all of our news programs and all of our platforms, and nothing can make me happier than doing that and patronize our advertisers.
Excellent. Excellent. Nice. All right. Well, great. And Sam, you want to run down where people can find us?
They can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We're most active on Instagram, so be sure to give us a follow there at Super Awesome Mix. You can also check out our website, superawesomemix.com, and look at our merch page. Check out our Patreon to help support the show and get our episodes early and get bonus tracks as well, and more cool stuff there. And then even take a look at our events page, where we've got something really cool and exciting coming up with the ability to kind of bring mixtapes back to life at your next event, whatever you might be hosting. So give us a follow, give us a rating, a review, check it out. All good things.
There we go. All right. So for John and Samer, this is Matt, and we'll see you next time with another super awesome mix. Super Awesome Mix is brought to you by DLM. Make shopping easy with DLM, the one-stop shop for all your casual clothing needs. Shop DLMSupplyCo.com and enter the promo code AWESOME at checkout to save 15% off your first purchase. That's DLMSupplyCo.com.